Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone. It is Red Men Radio, the Liverpool podcast, number... Chris Pager?
35.
33. Uh-oh. Wait, why?
I trusted Jono Vandenberg, who said, I believe this is episode 34.
Well, Denny McCarthy sent us an email this week, because we've been asking you, and, you know, will someone obliged? And if only one person had obliged, I guess it wouldn't be a problem, because we trust it. He says that...
Show you working out.
Well, he has genuinely sent us an Excel file with all the podcasts on, which is how he did his working out. We were up to number 32 as of last week, according to Dennis or Denny.
I joke, I know, and I've been through that working out, and it is spectacular. He sent spreadsheets, he's put filters on it so that it just pulls up the word podcast and all that type of stuff. It's incredible. Jono Vandenberg probably just counted, and he says 34. I am going to lean to Dennis.
Yeah. He said, you asked in the last podcast what number it was. I spent the last 20 minutes of my life checking this out. Why? I don't really know. I think I'm still trying to justify my 6 years in college studying IT. Well, in my opinion, 6 years.
In college?
6 years.
In college.
College is different. I guess that's in the States. It's different to what we call college.
College
is where you go if you can't get in to do your A-levels.
Yeah, that's right.
You can't get into sixth form, school. You go to college. Yeah, basically. If you don't want to wear a uniform... You go to college. Anyway, 6 years. Wow.
Should we just split it?
Justified.
And go 34.
No. So we'll go with 33 on the superior amount of defined work.
Well, Jono's was, I believe this is episode 34.
So he believes doesn't mean it is.
Yeah.
I believe in a lot of things.
Jono, thank you very much for subscribing to the redmentv.com. But you didn't show your workings. And as such, you may have got to the right answer.
Hey, listen.
But because you didn't show your workings, we're marking it incorrect.
Well, listen, this is why Dennis has done 6 years, an extra 6 years in school. So he understands that making sure you show your workings.
Maybe that's an issue, though.
Important.
I mean, if he went to college in England for 6 years.
Yeah, exactly. So he's been doing a BTEC for the last 6 years.
In which case, we should probably disregard that.
Wow. If anyone wants to corroborate,
I'm sure we can drag this out for a few weeks.
Sure, well, definitely. I'll go with 33 for the moment. It's irrelevant. We've not put it in the title, but when we get absolute confirmation, we'll definitely go with that. Kickoff question comes from Seamus Keats. Silk on a stick.
I like that. That's his name.
What?
Seamus Keats is. It's a silk on a stick type of a name.
You think
it?
So?
Yeah, I like it.
That's good. It's very poetic, isn't it?
Well, Keats tends to be poetic.
You make a Frankenstein footballer out of different parts of LFC players, e.g. Mo's legs, Bobby's teeth. How does your player turn out? I mean, the simple answer to that is just spectacularly.
Yeah.
But for the sake of drawing it out to get a real...
And we did.
And we have drawn it out. For those of you watching the video version of this on the redmentv.com, you will see. In fact, you know what? Detailed anatomical drawings that we've gone for.
Yours got a penis?
Mine doesn't have a penis.
Mine's got a penis.
Wow, can I just... Right, okay. There's a possibility that... I don't know where you've gone with this is what I'm driving at here, Chris. Let's get to that. Let's cross that bridge when we get there. You've drawn... Have you got an arse on yours?
Yeah.
Right, okay. So okay, that's fine. we've both gone for Sturridge's left peg.
Yes.
But who have we gone for right?
I haven't.
No, I know. But why?
I should have.
Why?
Well, I'm going for Trent. I like his right foot.
Well, that's just stupid. I'm going for Phil Coutinho then, if we're going for...
Oh, have you used him? Doesn't I didn't really work like
what
that.
Have you used this, what, have you stuck his foot on his head or
I've
something?
Gone for his footballing brain.
I've also done that, but we'll get... We'll, okay, let's you know get what? To, I will, Coutinho's you know got what? The most Coutinho's, talented right foot.
Coutinho's the right answer.
Legs?
Mo.
He was correct with Mo Salah straight off the bat. What?
And Alberto. I just like the idea of how they'd run. I think it'd be funny.
In a circle.
I haven't really. I'm just joking. I have just gone for Mo.
For Mo Salah's legs. Okay, sad. So you've gone for, well, I guess the neck, depending on how big the penis is, if you got, it could be the next Joel, highest part.
Joel Matip, because he's like six, I think he's the biggest player in the squad, isn't he?
Okay. 6'5", say. Yeah. Okay, sound. I imagine it to be long and thin, if I was to imagine it. Like, you know, I think that would be, you know, yeah.
You go imagining that.
Well, I have now, unfortunately, now that I've put that into everyone's head, I very much imagine it to be like...
Apologies to everybody listening.
To the same way to his limbs.
Wiry.
I went for hips.
Okay. Ooh, who's the dancer?
No, I went for Genie.
Okay.
Because I figured, like... His centre of gravity and his overall strength would come from would he be hip based?
I like that.
I would have gone with in years gone. You've gone with arse,
yeah,
because you've just tried to get as many funny named body parts in there as possible.
Pretty much.
Yeah. What who's Gooch have you gone for?
No one.
Never mind. Arse, who have you gone for?
Milner.
James Milner's arse. Yeah. Why?
Robust.
He's got a robust arse. Of course he has.
He can take a hammer and
sure.
Shouldn't need to.
Wow. Torso / chest.
I never went for that. I went for lungs.
Okay.
Adam Lallana.
Adam Lallana.
Run all day, baby.
Okay, Adam Lallana. I've gone for Emre Can's chest.
It's a good chest.
Barrel chest.
It's a good chest.
I think, you know, he's got, of all of our players, I think the upper body.
It's a shield-like chest. Yeah, I think that's so. Good because, you know, it shields the innards.
Of Adam Lallana's lungs, yes. Did you bother with arms?
No.
No, because he cares.
No. Well, I like the idea of him running around with no arms now.
I don't think they would be Matip's arms, because similar to the other body parts, I just think they're a bit too long.
Longer than the legs.
Yeah, exactly. Look a little bit like an overused Stretch Armstrong. Or hands.
Hang on, who's got the best sleeve tattoo?
I genuinely think all sleeve tattoos look the same, so I've got no idea of this. If you're watching and you're into that stuff, who has got the best sleeve tattoo?
Sean Moreno must be up there.
I just, for me, sleeve tattoos are a very expensive way to make your arms look dirty all the time.
It's a good point, well presented, Paul, and not one that I'm going to argue against. But I'm going to pick Mo Salah's arms for the simple fact that they used to work in tandem with his legs for balance.
Yeah, sure. I like that, you know, again, yeah, completely. I just, that was very much for television, not for radio, but there you go. Did you go with neck?
I didn't.
It can't be James Milner's because he's got none.
Yeah, I didn't.
So I'm just
my play's now got no neck.
I've just got wow.
Like James.
No neck.
No. I don't know about neck. I've never really focused in on who's got the best neck, if I'm honest, but
not a neck man.
No, not really. Not really a man's man in any way, shape or form.
I just thought that. A woman's man?
Not really that either. Not really a man, Paul, if I'm perfectly honest.
I'll just throw it in there for like a
Klopp's got a good neck.
Lovren's neck.
It's quite upright, isn't it? You know, yeah,
sure. Let's have Jürgen's neck. Go ahead. Because
what you need in a neck?
Yeah, muscles, power. And I think Dejan Lovren's got that.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not sure he's got full control over it, but that's another story for another matter. I completely agree with the shout from Seamus Keats that it has to be Bobby's teeth. Yeah. Only because I can't think of anyone else's teeth that particularly stand out and in the world.
I mean, there's that episode of Friends with Ross.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think I got to the crux of this. I don't know whether you were in it. I think you were. But I think Bobby uses his teeth during football games.
To like dazzle the opponents.
And then meg them.
Right.
Okay. I think it's literally, it's a smile, flash, he's gone. Just like that pen.
There you go. I totally agree with that.
Emery's hair?
I did. Gosh, shit, why did I forget hair? No.
Oh.
Yeah, go ahead. Emery can have the hair. There you go. That looks like a penis. I've just drawn on his head. That's fine. But I get the gist. Emery's hair is fine. Did you go with whose head?
I didn't. I'm kind of just going like blank features now, just teeth.
Just why not? Pure, just teeth, all teeth and
I
hair.
I kind of just went with...
You just got a brain in a jar with some teeth slapped on the front
I want to say I just focused on the parts that affect the football, but I don't think I've done that either.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Can I just say I forgot the head? Is that okay?
Yeah, exactly, that's fine. That's fine. An admission of fault is no problem whatsoever in this instance. Because the minute, yeah, you've basically got a loose brain floating around trying to head footies. And listen, Alan Shearer would be having a field day with that, by the way. And rightly so. I've gone for Karius's head because I think he's a stunning man. But I would put, as we mentioned, I would put Phil Coutinho's brain in there without a shadow of a doubt. And yeah, other than that, I'm not sure we need any more features.
Because I went for forehead. Just for the, you do head the ball, you actually do.
Okay, shat.
And I just went with not Matip.
Any forehead apart from Joe Matip. That's the one qualification.
Absolutely.
Whatever you can pull together out of what's left.
Just what you see that pile of body parts there?
Yeah.
Use one of them, yeah. Just not Joel.
Take some scraps and then, yeah. I mean, I'm not sure. Yeah. I mean, probably better to raise the thing. We've left the Joel Matip penisless here.
Yeah.
So probably best to do something that just ends it for him. So maybe as a mercy thing, he's not going to be great at heading, but as a mercy killing for Joel Matip, who's got to live the rest of a life without his spaghetti strand member.
Peni?
I don't know. I'm sure his missus is
Question,
happy.
How does your player turn out? I think you were right. Splendid.
Splendid. Absolutely
spectacular.
Splendid. You know, again, I've utilising the head and face of Karius and the hair of Emery, and I don't think we even needed, I think Karius' hair is perfectly
right.
Fine. I think we've got something that's not only talented on the pitch, but also is very marketable off it, provided they're covered and you don't get to see all the joints.
And as, I think it was Face Off, hate to see you go. Love to watch you walk away. Oh, I've butchered that line. I know I've butchered that line. Can you please tell the viewers that line and the listeners?
I hate to see you go, but I love to watch you leave.
That's the one.
Yeah, absolutely.
And James Milner makes
because
it
of
that.
His robust behind.
You know.
Why not? Okay, topic-wise. Wow. I often wonder about when people come to these podcasts and think, oh, yeah, Liverpool podcast, I'll get into that. And, you know,
give up
if you've lasted this long, then good on you. Some football chat coming your way. And it pertains to Daniel Sturridge's future. So we've seen the news story broken. I think it was someone Anderson.
Was it Dave Maddock? No.
No, it was Anderson, whatever his first name is, Mirror Anderson on Twitter, who's been really badly wrong on a few things lately, but he's going to keep trying. claims that Daniel Sturridge wants to leave in January to save his World Cup or whatever. And we had a ton of questions. We ask you for questions on this podcast every single week. You shape the content, as it were. But I've got a few. I'll read them out and then we'll kind of piece together a good, you know, set of chat around this, Chris. Rizab Singh at Oh Your Beauty on Twitter says, if Southampton asked for Sturridge in an exchange deal for Van Dijk in January, would you take it? Pavel Blazevic, wow, what a boss surname, at Hyped says, where would you go if you were Sturridge and which club is the right choice for him? And Kevin Murphy on the Facebook page says, with news of Sturridge supposedly wanting to leave for more game time, will that force our hand to bring in a ready-made striker or allow Klopp to promote the likes of Brewster from within, knowing that his style of play lends to Firmino's and Lallana's? First off, what your opinion, Chris, on the Daniel Sturridge thing? Let's just go for the sake of argument. Let's say it is true. And let's say he has indicated to Liverpool that he wants to leave in January. What are your feelings on that?
You know what? Over the years, Sturridge has had some bad press throughout his career, really, for not being like a team player or anything like that. But I've got to admit, I've met Sturridge a couple of times and spoken to him. And you can see the way that, even just two videos that the club put out, the way that the squad think of him, the players and the coaching staff think of him. I think he's been a really loyal servant to Liverpool through a really tough time in his career.
Yeah.
You know, 13, 14, he gets 25 goals in all competitions. We all say it, everybody knows it, he's not the player that he was, he's not got that explosiveness, that turn of pace that he used to have and stuff, but he's still got a wand of a left foot, he still knows how to create space. Unfortunately right now, for me, he doesn't fit in with Klopp's philosophy for a centre-forward, and that's not his own fault. I think he can go and still have a good career elsewhere. And you know, I think Jurgen Klopp spoken in the press conference pre-Sevilla, about the need to focus on his job in hand. Yeah. You know, whatever come, he's not pertaining to any ideas of him moving away or anything like that anyway in January. What he's saying is there's games between now and January, and he will be used. Like, you know, it was only a couple of weeks ago he scored 2-2, and he's not seen the pitch, I don't think, since. He's had four starts this season, Daniel Sturridge, for us. And it's a World Cup year. He's 28 years old, so he'll be 32 the next time the World Cup comes around.
And given how his career's progressed.
Exactly.
With the injuries, he might not even be playing
He might not be, and, you know, I do question whether he'd be able to do it week in and week out at the top level in the Premier League, certainly, for any club. I think he's been managed really well this season, but he's never going to be more than just a squad rotation player at Liverpool. And if he's not willing to accept that, I kind of understand why he wants to go, if I'm perfectly honest, because he thinks he can be more than that. Now, the injury record would suggest to me that he might not be able to, but I'm not going to bet against him.
Yeah, I think what's interesting about the fitness thing is he's not been injured this season. I mean, he got injured in pre-season, didn't he? He got injured scoring that worldie against Bayern. But he's been there every week. Now, of course, there's a world of difference between playing 90 minutes of football and sitting
12
on the bench.
At the end.
Exactly, if that as well, a lot of the time. So there's that. You can see that, you know, whether it's in being managed and better and what have you, which I think you're right. I think it is. It is. The narrative for me has changed on Daniel Sturridge a little bit of late, and I don't think it is as much. I think we all still fall in that. Well, he's dead injury prone. But I think over the last, this season and last season, I think he's probably been as available as he's been in.
I don't think
years.
It matters.
Yeah.
The injury stuff anymore. I think he's still very much a squad player for Liverpool, and I don't think he can ever be more than that, because he's just not got that work rate in his game that Firmino has. Now he's got great movement and all that type of stuff, but even if you said to me he's going to be fit for the next two seasons, he still doesn't break into the side.
That's the difficult thing.
And he can come in and score goals, and he's still not going to break into the side.
I completely agree with that. It's interesting, I've actually just done a video on my YouTube channel about this, which will be going up later today, and you literally almost word for word my exact thoughts on it too. But what, just in a, just looking at Daniel Sturridge taking the Liverpool thing out of it, is that I think he's in a good position now in terms of, again, in terms of his personal fitness, that I wouldn't think. I mean, if you two summers ago or three summers ago, I'd have been going, who the hell's taking a gamble on Daniel Sturridge, because there's no proof there that you're going to get more than a couple of games before he's out for 5 or 10, and then and blah blah blah. He's not gonna get that opportunity at Liverpool to prove his fitness, and that's the thing for him, isn't it? He's had that jumping off point now where there's a transfer window looming. He's in the matchday squad every single week. He's banging on the door to get in. You're right, I don't think he's ever going to get in on a regular basis. He could score a hat-trick, and he's going to come on the next week, because Roberto Firmino is the guy that makes us tick. So I can understand where Sturridge is probably thinking, well, listen, I'm fit to play.
I've not been fit for how many years? Yeah. I want to get games. I don't begrudge him that.
No.
And if he wants to move, I'd imagine that Jurgen Klopp would be looking at it and going, we're not getting the calibre of striker of Daniel Sturridge in the January transfer market for cheap.
Yeah.
So at bare minimum, we either get really, really good money for him, or he moves at the end of the year. Well, I imagine Klopp will do similar to what he did with Lucas Leiva in that regard. And like, give us that extra 6 months. Or,
yeah.
In this case, it was a year, wasn't it?
Let's put a little pin in into that side of things for a minute, and let's focus on the Daniel Sturridge and in terms of where we think he could go.
Yeah, I think Southampton obviously is mentioned in one of the questions, I believe. Is it?
Southampton's mentioned as a potential swap for Van Dijk.
Yeah, so I don't know if there's any truth in this at the moment, as in journalists reporting it, if I'm honest. I've not seen anything, I'm not saying it's not. But I do know that their previous manager, Claude Puel, last season, there was a lot, if you remember back, December and November, there was transfer rumours about a £25 million move for Daniel Sturridge from Southampton back then. Now, I'd imagine most of the coaching staff is exactly the same, and having that extra, 10 months, 11 months, 12 months, and seeing that Daniel Sturridge is fit, I can see that their coaching staff would probably still think Daniel Sturridge is a good fit. They've not got a striker, which obviously makes a massive difference. They need to score goals. They need to probably start upping the performance levels as well under Pellegrino and stuff. So I can see Southampton. West Ham would be a graveyard for him, and they're the one that seem to get bandied around more than anything else.
They're the most obvious the most obvious straight off the bat pick because of look who's already there. It's exactly what you're saying. It's the new club of where you go when your legs have gone a bit and you've got a big profile and you want a big wage and you want to go and you can be sold on it because, hey, West Ham, look, big stadium, London. Money, London, et cetera, et cetera.
Graveyard.
Horrendous fit for Daniel Sturridge as well. David Moyes could not work with Daniel Sturridge. He wants to play one up top and he wants
hold
to have
the ball up, maybe.
Exactly. You know, Daniel Sturridge would only be an impact player at West Ham. Look, I mean, be interesting to see. Funny enough, I was chatting to Barry from Toffee TV. We had one of those random chats that happen in the office where you occasionally just find 10 minutes to sit down in between things. And he was talking about West Ham and what I've been saying, how like he can't see Hernandez being any good under Moyes because, again, he plays one up top. Where does Chicharito fit into that kind of thing? They've kind of got the Daniel Sturridge almost, haven't they? They've got their pure finisher already. So I guess West Ham's off the table, although...
How do you feel about Everton, Paul?
Evertonians would struggle, I think, with the Daniel Sturridge just as much. The more I think about it, the more I think... They desperately need... Because it's mad that you bring them up because in that conversation I brought up the season where we left ourselves really short up front and it's so similar to what Everton have done except that we had Luis Suarez, which made a massive difference. And that we knew we needed to solve that problem and, you know, like basically January 1st, boom, let's get the deal done. So it was in very early in that window. And it's mad that a few years down the line, he could do a similar bit of problem solving for Everton as well. Doesn't have to move house. It's probably the biggest club that's going to, in England anyway, that's going to come in for him if they were to.
Would you sell to them? Because he does strengthen them.
He does strengthen them.
And they are still a rival.
They are a rival. Of course. But yeah, they're a rival. And look, we'll still have to play them once as well, you know, in the new year.
Here's the thing, and listen, you know.
Would you?
Would I what?
Sell them to Everton?
No, strengthen them. They're a rival. You know, I was joking around, mate. I think he'd play well with their numerous. Myriad, plethora, whatever word you want to use, of number 10s. Mm. Because he needs people to feed him the ball. It's just whether he's got the pace to run off those guys. And I'm not sure whether he has, to be perfectly honest. I think he needs a partner up top. And I don't think that partner's Wayne Rooney,
I completely agree with that. I remember watching the tournament, or meld into one, I forget. But it was one of the Hodgson tournaments, so it could be either. So that's not helped me. Playing with Wayne Rooney and that, and Wayne Rooney wanting to have the ball passed back to him at all times so that he can have the shot from outside the area effectively, which doesn't suit Daniel Sturridge's game. Now, if you could make Wayne Rooney 10 provider, you know, as a genuine 10, then, you know, there's worse things. But it feels like another one of those situations where another West Ham type thing where you're just buying guys because they're available.
They're not a fit.
There's no coherent plan to say this is going to be what we need. Everton need a target man. They need someone to hold the ball up and bring everyone else into play effectively. And they, you know, Daniel Sturridge, as we know, Defo isn't that. The one that'd be quite interesting, I could see maybe Newcastle. He's another Newcastle style side in that he's dead good at footy and he's a little bit injury prone, which is perfect for Newcastle. Again, could Rafa get something out of him? Rafa did sell him from Chelsea after all. There's talk of them
replacing. That was when he had pace.
Well, yeah. There's talk of them replacing Mitrovic once they move on. Them getting, if they get some like another target man, like say they go back for Andy Carroll, for an example, and they pair Andy Carroll and Daniel Sturridge up front.
That could work.
You could get
them on the pitch.
Exactly. Exactly. But I mean, that's what you do.
I'll tell you what, you wouldn't want to play Newcastle last six games of the season before an international tournament,
deadly,
though, would you?
Deadly.
Wow.
Let's just check fixtures
right now.
But yeah, I don't care.
Everybody knows.
By all means, check for us if you're listening.
And tweet us.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't know who else.
I don't really think England's the right place for them.
No, I mean, there was talk that...
Scotland. You'd kill it in Scotland.
Wow. Okay. Celtic? I'm not sure he's going. No, well, he's not going anywhere else in Scotland. He's not going to fucking Rangers. I'm sorry, but like, no, there is one club in Scotland. I apologise.
Rodgers does like him, and then there you go. There's your journalism for the week. The crappy journalism.
Well, there's talk that again, Baz Brussels me that Dembele's being linked with a move away. You know, he's had a good couple of years at Celtic as well. Take a swap deal for Moussa Dembele.
No money involved, just the two of them.
Just a straight swap, yeah. No, that's one of them, because I think you threw that up as a suggestion for a Danny Ings loan earlier on in the season, and I totally agreed in that regard, because you get to go be the best player in that league by an absolute mile, score a ton of goals, and, you know, look, Gareth Southgate wants to pick Daniel Sturridge. Yeah. Let's be honest, and that will just make his life easier, just being able to see that.
I don't really get that. Now, I do get Gareth Southgate wanting to play players who are playing regularly for the clubs, but in a situation like Sturridge's, he is playing regularly. Now, it's only minutes here and there, but when you come into tournament football and maybe you want to change your game with 20 minutes to go, I think there's an advantage to having a guy there who's used to coming on with 20 minutes to go and trying to affect the game of football.
Depends. It's whether Daniel Sturridge believes that he can play himself into the starting 11 for England.
Yeah.
And if he does, with the greatest respect to Daniel Sturridge, I think that's possibly slight delusion, if I'm honest.
I agree with what you're saying, right? But equally, he's got a chance at going to a major tournament and having an impact.
Mm.
And he might not like it, but surely that's better than nothing. Now, the problem is Gareth Southgate genuinely doesn't want people who aren't playing 90 minutes week in, week out. But come the summer, you never know what's going to be happening. It might be advantageous to England to have someone who's clocked up 35 appearances, who's actually really fresh for a tournament,
yeah,
who's very, very good at the football.
Yeah. Oh, shocking. Hey, what a shocking notion, Chris, as opposed to taking some kid who's got loads of potential but hasn't kicked the ball in anger all season. Yeah, no, I think it's a decent shout. I mean, you're right, because I think that is the thing. You can have lofty ambitions as a manager, and all power to Gareth Southgate. And I hope he does pick a hungry England squad and not like one that, you know, that's resting on its laurels and what have you. But look, are you going to take Dominic Calvert-Lewin?
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right, because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1, only from Rust-Oleum.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Because he's played 40 games and scored 6 goals, are you going to take Daniel Sturridge, who's played?
I think the other thing, I remember seeing an Andrew Beasley tweet. I've been keeping my eye on them. I love his tweets anyway. But the goals and assists per 90, he's the third best player in our squad. Mo Salah. It's now Coutinho, I think, on 80 minutes with a goal or an assist. Mo Salah, 84. Sturridge is the only player under 90. On that other player, and it's 86 or something like that. I may have got the figures slightly wrong, but they are the only ones under 90. That's incredible, and shows that he can have an impact.
Well, this is my problem with it, Chris, is that you kind of, and it was what you were touching on before in terms of like the replacement for him. This is the big problem for me, because he's good. He's dead good. He's like he's up there with the best second choice you know, backup strikers that the league's got. I mean, look, let's look at what other teams have got. Now, there are plenty of examples. Like, Man United have now got Zlatan Ibrahimovic, which is great. You know, he tries to score stupid bicycle kicks when he could just bring it down and score goals because he wants to show off because he's a tit.
In fairness, he did actually score that bicycle kick.
But yeah, so Man United, good, fine, you know. I'm not saying we have to have the best, you know. Again, Gabriel Jesus and Aguero's probably the best when you think about it, because you can rotate them in and out and it doesn't affect how you're doing. Chelsea have got Batshuayi and he's been okay, but you wouldn't say he was setting the league alight. Spurs have got Fernando Llorente, and then other than that, they're playing Son up, but he's doing a great job when he's playing up there. But still, they're playing him out of position to do that. Past that, definitely forgetting some teams because I do all Arsenal, Giroud and Lacazette sound, yeah.
Yeah, good. When they've only had their front three on. I mean, if you include Ozil in that for a few games this season, but they are, I think they've played like four games together, five goals and three assists between the three of them or something like that. I mean, it's pretty incredible what they're doing.
Firmino and Sturridge, that's class for us. You take Daniel Sturridge out of that and it's Firmino and Solanke.
Yeah, and there's the Firmino difficulty. And you know, apologies for anyone listening to this after the Sevilla game. It actually doesn't make any difference. I don't know why I mentioned that.
Only if we lost, in which case, apologies.
Well,
no.
Yeah, apologies for that, thanks. Danny Ings being put in the squad makes me question whether there's truth in these storage things or not, because you know, we've not seen hide nor hair of him for a long time now, really, as far as the first team squad goes. But the fact that he's travelled to Sevilla, he's in the match day squad. I wonder whether now we're going to see more Danny Ings in the run-up to January in case Sturridge does want to force a move through, and we've got to have someone else there fresh and ready to go other than just Dom Solanke.
Well, it's interesting because, that's the thing. Danny Ings is ready. You know, I was speaking to the under-23s manager, and this a couple of weeks ago, he was saying, look, he's fit, he's there, but he just needed a bit of luck in front of goal. And once that got going again, he's ready for the first team squad again. He scored like four or something the other week. He's back. So is
Critchley hiding the goal scorers and the results from Klopp at this point?
Maybe, yeah. Very keen always to say no, but yeah, definitely. But I think we forget, because he's been that long, that he's a first team member. He's a member of the first team squad, isn't he? That Ings was always going to come back into the fold when he was fit and ready. So that, you know, a conspiracy theory, definitely what you've said there, will throw the cat amongst the pigeons, definitely, of course. Like, but I guess equally, there's just the most chance Danny Ings would have been in there. And you're just saying Sturridge, Solanke and Ings, there's two places on the bench, lads. Who's putting the shift in the best in training this weekend?
And listen, the other thing that I'm not ruling out is that we can see Mane and Salah play more centrally. Now, I know right now that seems like absolutely crazy and stuff, but these are, just from the fact that how often they change positions and fluidity that front three have, they're very, very tactically astute players. Yeah. And I think if they were asked in a mad injury crisis to do it, I think they'd be fearsome as well, because you've still got Phil Coutinho, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, all those players, Adam Lallana to play behind. I still think the teams would struggle to deal with those. And that may actually be a safer option than throwing Dom Solanke in.
Don't forget as well, we'll see as the season progresses, of course, but if we're switching to
4-2-2-2.
Exactly, or the 4-2-4 and all the variations in between, more two up top, you know, maybe all of a sudden the situation is that we can get more out of these guys and we might see them. But the getting back to the question, the problem we've got, and ultimately the problem with the Daniel Sturridge thing is, it's a big leap of faith to leave us without Daniel Sturridge, because at the minute, you know, as you say, Danny Ings hasn't played a single minute of first team football. Dom Solanke has been very limited. He's started one game for us this season. That was in the League Cup. I'm speculating, but he's probably played about an hour's worth of football for us or something this season. Dan Sturridge has had 12 appearances so far.
Is it four starts?
Yeah. Well, you said that earlier. I'll go with you on that. But either way, 12 appearances in total. There's not loads of footy around, but there's Daniel Sturridge is the best of what we've got there. To replicate that, you're either talking, you know, to buy someone who's got Daniel Sturridge's eye for goal. Buying a backup centre forward is what I'm driving at, is a very difficult thing to do.
Does anyone do it well? buying a freaking centre forward who scores goals hard enough.
Yeah.
Trying to find a backup's mental.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where Liverpool, that's what we're facing with if we were to let him go in January. I'm not totally cool with that.
No, yeah, I agree with that because, yeah, don't make yourself worse.
Mm, yeah, completely.
I've got a question.
Yeah.
Came up on my Start 11 predictions show. Just a quick one from you, Paul. Would you rather have 13-14 Suarez, Sterling and Sturridge or 17-18's Mane, Firmino, Mane?
13-14 just because of Suarez. He's the best player I've ever seen play football. And if I could have him for one more season or whatever, it would always be Suarez. Now, I think there's more goals. No, actually, no. There's probably about the same amount of goals, isn't there? It depends. If Firmino starts sticking away a few chances, so by the end of the season, I might have a different view on this, because if Firmino gets 15, at least 15 goals
this
season...
I think we worked it out in all competitions. I think it was 65 between 13 and 14.
Really? Okay.
I think there was 31, 25, and whatever the other numbers. 10, yeah. Oh, right, okay. Was it 66 then, maybe, was it? Something like that, regardless. 65, 66, something like that.
Okay, yeah, so this would be dependent.
Tough to beat,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. But I think, you know, at the minute, Salah's on for...
70.
Let's just say he's on for, let's say he's on for 20-odd, you know, at the moment, at a very conservative estimate. I'd bang Mane to get there or thereabouts as well. So you're going to get less goals, but I think you're also getting... If you're then tying it into the full team as well... You know, we're taking Coutinho out of that equation and blah, blah, blah. I don't know. It's hard. It's very simply more Luis Suarez in my life. But if Mane gets back to form as well.
I settled on that as well. It was a little bit more difficult for me, but I did say at the end of it, ask me after the season and I'll then tell you.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense. It is a tricky one, though. Let us know your answer to that. So you tweet in at the Redmen TV. We've got facebook.com/TheRedmenTV and interact@theRedmenTV.com if you want to email us anything more long form in. Moving on to some questions then, Chris, that was good fun. We didn't mention the likes of Brewster and Kevin Murphy's question. I think just quickly on that, I don't think we'll see much of him, but I would like him to get... If it means, again, it falls back to the same thing, the gamble. I would like us to be the kind of club that can give Brewster a handful of substitute appearances before the end of the season. And if he's fifth choice in a team that plays one up front, that becomes much, much harder
to do. Yeah,
it's
cool that, like, I mean, I'm not sure if this record's still going, but I think it is. But one of the things that I respect most about Manchester United, actually, is they've had that record from, like, is it 69 or something like that, where they've had... one youth team player in the squad every match day since something ridiculous like the 60s or the 70s or something. I'd love Liverpool to have that record, to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah.
And you know, keep that continuity going of having those type of youth development programmes going and stuff. But yeah, Brewster would be great to have in and around the squad. I think obviously if he's old enough, yeah, get him in. If not, continue his development where he is and where he's learning.
Yeah, absolutely. So moving on to the questions. We've got a bit of a mixed bag here, so prepare yourselves for a little bit of up and down of emotions and tone. Standard for Redmen Radio. Red or Dead 1892. What do you make of the incident in the main stand last weekend? Absolutely appalling from the stewards.
Yeah, he's kind of summed it up perfectly. To be honest, it was absolutely appalling from the stewards. Yeah. I mean, now I realise that they've got a tough job and that they're all Liverpool fans and stuff at the end of the day. I didn't see that there was any harm being done. I think it was very, from my view of the video, it was very obvious that it was going to get there very quickly. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think there was any need for it to get there. I think he could have diffused the situation much better and in a completely different manner.
So can just to provide some context to the, obviously the video that's done the rounds, it went a bit viral over the weekend, and it was apparently there's a non-English speaking Liverpool fan was on the back row of the main stand, was it?
Yeah.
And stood up to take a photo.
Repeatedly, I think.
Yeah, and was told and was inevitably ejected. And then the story goes that some local lad stood up for him and was told to get out as well. Now, if you follow like the Twitter thread,
didn't sound like a Scouser to me, to be honest. It sounded like a Scotsman or something.
Yeah, but there's
it doesn't really matter.
No, I know. But the, apparently, then someone the Twitter thread, because we'll never know because we weren't there, and you only see what you see on there, that the lad was chatting with the stewards and busies downstairs on the concourse at half time. So we don't know what the full story is. And we know also that Liverpool, like Peter Moore tweeted about it and said they were tackling it. My problem with this, and I've been asked a few similar questions on Twitter lately, is that I think we demonise stewards a little bit. And that, like, this guy was acting like a bellend. And, you know, that's fine because there's nice people and knobheads in every single walk of life. You know what I mean? Take a step left and you'll see a knobhead. Take a step right and you'll see a nice person. That's just the way life is. I think the problem is that stewards are very, very massively underpaid and massively undertrained for the job that they're asked to do. And so, and as you kind of alluded to, a lot of people who take stewarding jobs don't do it because it's like a career choice, or they don't do it like professionally. You know what I mean? It's a few extra quid that they get in the pocket. A lot of times people who are struggling to get into work or whatever. So you get a lot of students, and you get a lot of fellas and women in the middle ages where coming across a getting a job in B&Q and getting a job in blah, blah, blah. It's just much harder to do these days because of the state of the economy and what have you. So people do, they take stewarding jobs on. They get a very basic amount of training. And here's the thing, they then are given a mandate and said, no one's to stand up. We're going to clamp down on people standing up. And unfortunately, again, in every walk of life, you just get mavericks, don't you?
Or Jobsworths,
who, you know, for whatever reason. And I'm not saying, because we don't know this guy and we don't know the full context of it.
But I don't feel too comfortable talking about this because I've seen a video, I wasn't there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I don't know what was said between the steward and the person there.
Yeah.
And I don't think the person who put the video up does either. Yeah. But from my initial view of that video, I've given you my opinion, but I would like to know the full story. I don't want to throw anyone under the bus on this type of thing because I just don't know. And I hate it when people do that about me or about people that I know or about situations.
Yeah.
Kind of don't really agree with it.
No, it's true. It's one of those things, isn't it? I think, for me, the only situation, though, when someone should be being ejected is if they're being horrendous, they're being violent or abusive or, well, basically that, or they're doing something illegal. Now, everything else is a situation where a quiet word should be able to sort out. Now, if you can't, I agree, there's escalation to all these things. And I'm not suggesting any of these things did or didn't happen in what's happened, because we can't know that kind of stuff. But as I say, not a judgment on this incident, but for me, that's the situation. The only reason you should be getting thrown out of a football match is if you're being an absolute, you're being a knobhead. We just don't, again, we weren't there, so it's not fair for us to comment, as you say, on whether the guy was or what. But it does appear as though it's the kind of situation where it's just gotten out of hand. And again, some cooler heads probably could have prevailed in that.
And maybe what you were saying earlier is probably right. It's about the training and stuff. You know, I said there are different ways of diffusing situations, aren't they? And if they don't have that training, maybe they don't have the tools they need to do the job.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. And that needs to change. And that's tough because, again, I know my soon-to-be father-in-law is a steward at Goodison, and It you're casual labourers, you know what I mean? You turn up for X amount of hours before then, and there's basically no communication with you in between that. You're just a body to put a vest on and just stand there effectively with a very loose code. So I don't know where that can be fixed other than, as I say, it's maybe just the responsibility of a head steward to take charge in these situations, or maybe it was a head steward who's caused it. We don't know, but it looks to me like it's a situation that could have been avoided. It'd be interesting to see how the club respond to it going forward. Okay, Mike Nicosia asks via our Facebook page, what is your go-to YouTube video to watch to cheer yourself up? Any of the following are acceptable: Istanbul, Dortmund, or compilation of angry Arsenal fan TV rants. Now, I watch none of those to cheer me up, by the way. I have my Istanbul night memories that I can draw upon whenever I need them.
Wow, I don't.
Yeah, of course you don't. of course you don't.
Memory of the day after.
You have slightly more memories of that than you do of the Athens final, to be fair.
Athens final?
Correct. For me, it's not a video so much as it is the Fail Army YouTube channel.
That's a great.
If
great
in
channel.
Doubt, if you're ever struggling for something, like we had 10 minutes to kill before I had to take my son up to bed, and we didn't really have anything we wanted to put on, we could all watch, and I just flicked YouTube on like Fail Army. It's Halloween fails, spot on, just lots of people falling over and doing that kind of stuff. It can't be beat. I am the worst person in the world to have near you when you suffer a physical injury.
Yeah. I'll attest that that is the truth.
It is the truth. I love physical comedy, whether it's meant to be physical comedy or not. Big slapstick fan. So for me, it's Fail Army. What about yourself? Before we get your answer, Chris read this question and then when it disappeared into his own little world for a moment and then came back into the world with tears streaming down his face and had to put his head down on the desk for a moment to compose himself.
Yeah.
Because the answer is...
I need to apologise before I talk about my answer. And I'm not sure now whether I should probably even give this as an answer. So I'm going to say I'm really, really sorry, first and foremost. But it's Tourette's, I swear, I can't help it. Now, I know that it's a disease, and I don't find diseases funny in any way, shape, or form. But John Davidson is an absolute hero of mine. I love him. I mean, I've followed him since 1989, and I wasn't even old enough to follow him then. I've gone back and searched out these programmes because he's the way that he's overcome these struggles that he's had with the Tourette's. He's a guy with Tourette's from Scotland, basically. The BBC did a documentary on him in 1989, I think it was. And then they come back every few years and just see how he's getting on in his life. And Tourette's, I swear I can't help it, came out a few years ago and stuff. And he had no friends before this documentary. Like, he really struggled in life and stuff. And he went on there and people started to really... They never knew what Tourette's was back then, first and foremost. So he's helped highlight and helped a shit ton of people because of these documentaries that he's been in and stuff. But it's just so funny at the same time. Like, I can't believe... We've watched this together, I'm pretty sure. Like, so I just jotted down a few of his better lines. And he sat there on his hands in a meeting and he's got a friend called Chopper and they're all having a discussion. They've all just got set and they all just set each other off and it's just comedy gold. Like, and he says something to Chopper and he goes, Chopper dies his pubes, ginger. And he just can't help himself. And then he's talking to a young lad and they've become friends because they've got Tourette's and this kid's about 16 and John's about 40 at this time. Like, and they're walking down the road and this kid's former Tourette's is like, he keeps walking along going, I'm a chicken. And John just goes, I'm a chicken fucker. As they're walking down the street, right? And then John's got a dog who helps him in life and stuff, like, and he really loves this dog, but he gets across the road and just as the car's coming, he rushes the dog forwards into the road and he has to pull the dog back and stuff, and he's still there apologising to his own dog for trying to get him ran over and stuff. And then he's walking, I think it might be his mum, but he's walking with a friend in the supermarket and they're picking up something from the bottom shelf and she picks up and she stands up and he just fucking slaps her in the face and she's so taken aback, Paul. It's fucking genius. And then there's an older one and he's talking about playing hide and seek with his friends and he's going... Apologies, he's going, it was going really well. You know, I had a dead good hiding place, I was in the bushes or whatever, and then I just shout, I'm in here! Because he just can't help himself. Gives his position away. And then he's talking to a 16-year-old kid, and they're walking down the street, and he's, touch me penis, it's great. And he's just like, it's a 16-year-old boy, and he's a 40-year-old man. And then John's talking about, like, just getting around the kitchen and stuff, and he's like, he's just talking about how he handles knives, and he goes, I can't really use that. I get stabby with knives, and he's just like that. And then there's another one where they're in this group session, and the woman goes to them. I forget her name, but she got some stick off them as well, and she's like a calming exercise, and it's like, imagine you're in a field and John just goes, I up to my knees in cowpat. Just like, he's just fucking brilliant, Paul. He's an absolute hero. And he's changed so many people's lives, not least mine.
Yeah, well, there you go. There's no need to watch it. There's 15 minutes of highlights. By all means, go and check it out. There you go. Kenny at K Warren.
I wish it was a better storyteller.
96. Butter and jam or just jam?
I don't get the the Just Jam, if I'm perfectly honest. There was a bit of mitre-et. I don't get the Just Jam. I didn't really know it was an option. And I think, obviously, you're toasting bread for the Maillard reaction, aren't you? You want the reduction in sugars to go with your amino acids, and then that will taste the caramelisey kind of brown. That's
exactly why I toast bread.
So that's why you toast your bread, you know what I mean? Sure. Obviously, you're elongating the life of your shitty little loaf or whatever as well, but the butter's important. So it's got to be butter with jam.
Okay. Yeah. Just because, yeah. Okay, fine. Okay, what about with Nutella?
I still butter too.
I don't butter my kids.
No, I don't. No. I don't deserve it. I don't need it.
Tom?
It's just the condiment by itself. Or whatever.
So you just have jam on its own?
Yeah.
On toast?
I eat dry bread though, so it's fine.
It's not fine.
It's less than fine. It's less than
too
fine.
Too much butter tastes horrible.
Don't put too much on then, Tom.
Absolutely. I think we've got the answer there. Okay. Right, there was a really good question by LFC Talk Podcast, and we just haven't got time to cover this week, unfortunately, because Chris decided to relate some Tourette's stories for half an hour. And it was about season ticket holders and improving atmosphere. We'll do something more on that in the future, but thanks very much for your question. Oh, you did say, who is the finest Liverpool wag? Which I thought, go on, let's go there. I don't really know, if I'm perfectly honest. It's not something I follow these days.
No. Same here.
I know that
Ings has got a fine looking specimen of a girlfriend.
Yeah, Danny Ings is a lucky boy. Just judging by his Instagram, because there is that photo of him and his girlfriend's reaction. Reflection is in the background, and she's basically half naked. And you think, no
life
wonder
is good.
That's why life he's smiling good on that photo. Fair play. And I know that Oxlade Chamberlain's going out with one of Little Mix, but I don't really understand what
is
that
he
means. Yeah.
She likes freckly blokes.
Mike Nicosia once again comes back to us with something that follows on from the review show this week,
poor,
I believe.
Poor Tom.
How short does hair have to be considered a shaved head? For example, Tom Dutton's does not count as shaved.
I'm not sure I know the rules to this. Simply because, you know, my rule is different to Tom's.
Well, listen, Tom's, just to fill people in, and you can go back and watch the review show on the YouTube channel, and you can listen to the podcast of it, but it wouldn't help you with the look of things, of course, because, you know, that's the
how it works.
The medium falls short.
The difference
short
between video and
where
just audio.
Short. Tom's had his hair cut, but he claims he's had it shaved.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently he hasn't had it cut.
So Tom claims it's been shaved. It doesn't look shaved.
No,
it looks
not
cut.
I'm not sure he knows what a razor is.
Mm. Short back and sides, 8 on the top, 6 on the sides.
8 on the top, 6 on
so
the sides.
So, as we all know,
did you know? Can I just ask you the listener, did you know you could get an 8?
There's no such thing as an 8 attachment for the Clippers.
Eight
I'm not having it.
8.5.
Come.
Wow.
So are you on Google now?
So, what made you think I'm not going the full hog?
No, I wanted to, but it was too long.
Oh, sad. Okay, cool. Yeah, I do want the answer.
I don't. I just think you'll have to shave it.
I think. Yeah.
I think that's the rule.
I think honestly, a 4 is the longest it can
be.
I
thought that's all it went up to.
Yeah,
I thought a 4.
I think a 4 is the longest it can be. Can be and still be properly
shaved. How did you find out about this 8 and 8.5, Tom?
Well, I googled it
before your first haircut.
No, I asked the woman the other week as well. I went, what's the highest you go up to? And she said 8.5.
She went, about 5'7".
she blagged your head, lads.
Yeah, I'm sure that's just made up. She's got the scissors up behind and gone, bzzz, just started sniffing away. if you want to see how Tom's hair is getting on, do watch the review show this week and tune in probably for, hopefully, there were some goal reactions to Sevilla afterwards. Unlucky us and Liverpool and possibly, you know, possibly Tom as well. Brilliant. Chris, I've enjoyed that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I did, Paul.
You definitely enjoyed it. I've never seen you laugh this much
before a show
since I watched you watch that show the first time. Just worth reminding that, as ever, reviews mean the world to us. So if you can leave a 5-star review on iTunes or any of the platforms that you get the podcast, that's great. If you want more Red Men Radio, you can. We do loads and loads of these podcasts behind the paywall on the redmentv.com. Because if you want to support the free stuff, please go over there and subscribe. You get a 3-month trial, so you can try out the Final Word show, the Reds News Roundup show. There's a whole host of other things. In terms of video as well, we've just done something called Liverbox, which we've brought back, which is reacting to some of the best and weirdest football and Liverpool videos around the web at the moment. Great, great fun, great show, if I do say so myself.
It was good.
Yeah. So thank you very much for listening, and walk on.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.